Welcome everybody to Sunday night here at Rhema Bible Church. We're so glad that you are with us, and we know God has something for you tonight. And you know, I think I used to hear ministers say this, and I didn't really have enough experience to understand it, but they said, you know, a lot of what you get is determined by you, not necessarily the preacher. And I understand that. I mean, the preacher has responsibility. But I think if you come expecting, God will meet you. Amen. And you know, how many of you know the Holy Spirit can say more to you on the inside than any preacher could ever say on the outside? So if you will, listen on the inside. You say, well, how do I listen on the inside? Well, that's where the voice of the Spirit speaks to you. Your spirit man has ears. Oh boy, here we go. But he does. He's got ears. Your spirit has ears. He's able to hear what the Spirit is saying. And we thank God for that. Thank God for the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the mighty Holy Ghost, who is our teacher and our guide. Lead us and guide us tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about my title of my sermon is Honor, Character, and Authority, God's Way of Leading. Honor, Character, and Authority, God's Way of Leading. I want to first give you definitions of those three words, and I don't have it for the screen, but first of all, to honor comes from a word that in the Hebrew and the Greek that basically means to weight or to value, to esteem. In studying honor and in ministering on that subject, come to the realization that you will not receive from what you fail to honor. In other words, if you will not honor it, you will not receive from it. And so honor is so important. Are you giving it the proper value? Are you esteeming it? We'll look at those things in a little bit more detail. Character is, of course, moral, but also spiritual nature. Consistent obedience to God's word. What's the kind of character we're talking about tonight? And then authority, the right and responsibility to act, delegated by God. Now, the subject of the believer's authority is so vital and so important, and I think it's been something that has been... Now, this ministry, of course, Brother Hagin did an outstanding job on it, and this ministry has talked about it greatly, and others have too, not just this ministry, but others have talked about it, and we understand that authority, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now you go. It is authority is as good as the power that's behind it. How many know the power of the authority of God is pretty strong? In fact, it's unbeatable power. Glory to God. But I want us to look to start off tonight, and if you got your Bible, look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is kind of our keynote scripture. And I don't have a whole lot of notes, but I kind of have an inkling this is going to go longer than tonight. So, not longer than our service time, but longer than tonight, if you understand what I mean. We'll get another opportunity, Lord willing, later on this next month. Can you believe it's September 2025? Now, I don't know. I know all you charismatics that were charismatics back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you didn't think we'd get this far. None of us did, I don't think, but here we are. So what we had Pastor talked about this morning, what are we to do? Keep occupying. Glory to God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, the King James says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Honor. Honor and character, then authority. Honor, character, and then authority. You know, a lot of folks want authority, but they don't understand the divine process of receiving and operating in it. Yes, we've been delegated authority just by the mere fact of becoming a child of God, but to operate in that authority? Amen. How many of you realize this, that you're not going to operate authority in authority of God and not walk in love. Right? You're not going to play with the devil and be able to cast him out. Get him out of your own life first. Now, did I say he had to be perfect? No, but you understand what we're saying here. There's a process, and we want to be able to have what we say come to pass. How many of you know the Bible promised? Jesus said. But you know as well as I do, it probably happened in our own life, and we've seen it happen in others. They're saying all the right things, but nothing's happening. Amen. Well, honor and character are going to put weight behind the authority that you're operating in. And we're going to look at that here. But, like I say, a lot of folks, you know, and this works in the natural realm also. Authority is not a badge of power. It's just trusting God. I love Romans 3:4. Let God be true and every man a liar. That includes Tad, you know. I want to bring that up because I'm not calling you a liar. I wouldn't call you a liar and not look at me. So what does that mean? How do we examine ourselves in that? Well, if I'm believing, speaking, and acting contrary to God's word, then I'm believing, speaking, and acting the lie. Does that make sense to you? Now, it may be perfectly acceptable in this world system, and all your friends and neighbors may be doing that very same thing, but if it's contrary to God's word, it's the lie. Why? It's not eternal. It's subject to change. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Authority. So in the kingdom of God, let's talk about that. In the kingdom of God, authority flows through honor and character. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, first of all. Honor. Let's talk about honor. That's the foundation. Proverbs chapter 3. Honor is the foundation. Remember, rightly esteeming, giving it the proper value. What you honor, you shall receive from. What you honor, you give weight to in your life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, I want you to notice that. Other translations say, putting God first in everything. The way we honor God is by putting Him first in everything. You've heard it from this pulpit many times by many different speakers over the years. If you've been around here long enough to when Brother Hagin filled this pulpit, you can get on. You can watch every online. You know, now do be careful. I know there's some AI videos out there of Brother Hagin that's not Brother Hagin. Amen. Be careful out there. Watch it. But you can always go on Rhema, you know, the Rhema YouTube channel and find the real stuff. But you've heard him say that. You've heard him talk about what does God's word say about it. That's our answer. And so to honor the Lord, we give him our first. He gets the first say in every part of our life. That means I value his word. I value God's ways. I value God's presence above everything else. Above everything else. Amen. So, you know, there's sometimes things you sacrifice in order to honor what's right. And I'm talking about good things. I'm not talking about bad things, but good things, maybe. You know, if you've got to get up at 5 in the morning, you can't hang out with all your godly friends till 3 a.m. Hey man, just tell your neighbor, he must be talking about you because that's not me. Just tell him that right now. Amen. But putting the Lord first place, honoring God first of all. But it's not just honoring God, not just valuing his word and his ways and his presence. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to honor people also. Do we place the same value on people that God places on them? Look at Romans chapter 12 just a moment. Honoring the Lord. We're talking about walking in authority. The authority of the believer. Glory to God. Now, it's delegated authority. Now, listen to me. It's delegated authority. So what we're talking about is not earning authority. We're talking about how to walk in the fullness of the authority that's been delegated to us. Because Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me, he said. Him, through Jesus. He said, now you go. In the authority that he has, directed us. I've been reading some in the, I looked up in the New Living Translation. I looked up on my Bible study. I like Esword. There's all kinds of them. I like Esword. And I was looking up in the New Living Translation every time the word authority is used. And I was amazed to find out that the New Living Translation, a lot of times when it says that it talked about doing something in the name of God, it says in my authority. It translates using the name of God as operating in authority. Well, how many of you, I can't invoke the name of God and not be walking in honor and character. Amen. All right, so let's define Romans 12. Look at verse number 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. See, I can't dishonor those created in God's image and expect his authority to operate in my life. But boy, we could camp on this one for a long time, couldn't we? Woo. I know, you know, it is so interesting that society, you know, society today, and it leaks over, and you know, I hear some people talk like the society and the church. Listen, we're in this world, and you're going to hear things going on in the world. And to say it's not going to, and to say it's not going to get over in the church is really, I don't have nice words to say about how I feel about that. It's going to get there. What do you do? But you have to talk about these things and deal with them. But you know, we can't be influenced by what the world's going through. How many of you realize we live in a politically charged society now? I mean, Lord, help us, Jesus. Amen. But you realize this? I don't care who you voted for. They are, whoever they are, have been, are the president of the United States. And so I was thinking about this, praying about this, and this has been a couple of years ago, just praying about some things, you know. And I wrote it down in one of the, and Amanda can tell you, I have all kinds of empty journals. I get journals, but I don't know why. I do most of my, I type notes, you know, and stuff, but as far as writing and that, first of all, after I write it, I have to go back and pray for the gift of discernment to figure out what I wrote, because I can't read my own writing sometimes. Any of you can testify to that? Okay. But the Lord said to me, in your thinking and in your speaking, always refer to the person and honor them by the title that they have, whether you agree with them or not. Amen. So, you know, it's not, I get a little, and I have to watch myself, because I realize everybody, how many of you know everybody doesn't have your revelation? Right? You know, I heard Brother Hagin talking about that concerning faith. This is interesting, you know. He said, and I heard him say it to us as students, he said, don't go out and teach faith on your level. Teach faith on the level of the person who's walking in that understands it the least, and then everybody will get something. He said, you didn't get there immediately. It's taken you all this time to get where you are. You can't teach it there. You've got to help people take the steps to get there. You know, if you're at the top rung of a set of stairs, you didn't start there, unless you're coming down, I understand. But if you started down, but you got to, how many of you know you got to walk up the stairs? Well, the person on the bottom, they've got to walk up the same set of stairs. They may do it in a different manner. They may not look like you while they're doing it, but the goal is to come up the steps, get to where the top is. Same thing true in these things. But honoring God's, those who are created in the image of God, no matter if they agree with us, don't agree with us, no matter what, you know, again, I'll say it this way, no matter who they voted for. Amen. We can't dishonor people and walk in authority. Amen. Now, a great example of this is King David, before he was king. Look at 1 Samuel 24. How many of you know David was anointed to be the king by the prophet, but Saul was still the king? All right? So that's kind of a dilemma, isn't it? And if you're not careful, you try to make those things happen. And David's company, there was a few times they tried to make it happen for him. This is one of those times here in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Look at verse 4. We'll start there. And the men of David said to him, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. Now let me stop there for a minute. Be careful letting other people interpret what the Lord said to you. I'm going to say that again. Be careful letting other people interpret what the Lord said to you. And I'm going to say this too. Be careful who you say what the Lord said to you too. Amen. Keep going here. It says, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him. What's that? His conscience. Something about that wasn't right, he said. Because he had cut off Saul's skirt. So he cut off a piece of his clothing. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not, or did not allow them to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. See, Saul had stopped and he's sleeping in the cave, and David's men found him. They went and told David. David came in and listening to them, cut off a piece of his garment. Then his heart smote him. What was he doing? See, he wasn't honoring Saul's. That piece of that robe that he cut off was the king's robe. Now, we know that the anointing had really left Saul. He had disobeyed God, and the Spirit of God had left him, but he's still in that place. And David, this is where the story, you know, and you hear people say, touch not God's anointed. That wasn't the anointed that says that to other people. That was the one serving the anointed who said, I will not touch God's anointed. So he felt bad about it. What's he doing? He went back and his heart said, no, that you dishonored him. And so he kept, because they were all of his, how many realize his company, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill Saul. God's brought him into your hand to do whatever you want to do with him. Isn't that what the Lord told you? The Lord spoke. Again, how many of you know that Jesus' disciples misinterpreted the messianic scriptures and his kingdom, and they were looking for a war, and that wasn't the kingdom Jesus came. So honor people, honoring God, honoring those who are in leadership. David honored God's anointing on Saul, even though Saul was doing wrong. Now listen, that doesn't mean we condone sin, but we do recognize God's order. Romans 13 is a very important scripture, you know, for us to look at, to talk to. Give honor to whom honor's due, there it says. Now, they may not be an honorable person, and I've heard people say, well, you don't have to if they're not honorable. Well, I don't see that there. I'm sorry. I'm just saying it's better just to honor people. If you can't honor them for anything other than the fact that Jesus shed his blood for them, then you start there. This is a person for whom Jesus died. So, Lord, help me to see them as you see them. Amen. Glory to God. So, honor. The second point that we want to look at is character. That's the proof. Character is integrity in action. So honor was the foundation. Character is the proof. Let's look at a couple scriptures. First of all, Proverbs chapter 11, please. Proverbs chapter 11. Character, we're talking about really integrity in action here. Verse 3, Proverbs 11, 3, and like I said, these are the King James Bible's up there. If I take a thee and thou out, you won't throw stones, will you? Thank you. All right. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. He contrasts integrity here with perverseness or a lack of character. Some translations say the good character. Perverseness is a lack of character. Notice that when I don't have character, I set myself up for destruction. But if I walk in integrity, godly integrity, then it's going to be my guide. It's going to lead me and guide me. Now notice, even though David had done wrong, because he honored Saul, his heart checked him, and he had integrity. He was led by it. That's so vitally important. Titus chapter 2 in the New Testament here. Titus chapter 2. Here is Paul's instructions to a young minister, Titus. Titus and Timothy were raised up by the Apostle Paul, and they both were in pastoral positions here. And here Titus is told by Paul, verse 7, in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is contrary of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Notice that he says here we should be a pattern of good works and sound speech. There should be a trail of integrity and character following behind us and in our words and what we say. Now, how many of you know that, we won't turn there, but the psalmist said that a person of character and integrity is somebody who swears to their own hurt. That means if you say it, you're going to do it no matter what it costs you. Have any of you ever said something you wish you hadn't? Amen. It cost me and my wife a brand new car. Because I had to have integrity based on what I said that I had forgotten I said. But I said it. Amen. 4 years later. Amen. I didn't have a new car. Man didn't have a new car. He drove the same minivan for how many years? 14? 13 years. You can wear out a minivan in 13 years. I'm telling you right now. Amen. God took care of us, but I'm not griping about that. But you know, is your word any good? Amen. Look at Luke 16. It's the small things where the victory is won and the test is overcome. The small things of life. Luke 16. You know, I like, you know, the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. But you realize this, we have to let people tell us no and tell us yes without explanation. Because it says anything more than that is going to end up getting over into sin. It's going to transgress. Now, you know how it is. You get invited to something. Are you going to, and you don't want to hurt their feelings. And so you say no, but you say, yes, I'll try to make it. You don't plan it. You're not going to try. I'm telling you, you're not going. You'd be better off saying, no, I'm not coming. Well, why? I'm not coming. Well, why? Do you really want to know? Well, yeah, I want to know. I don't like hanging out with you. That's why. Amen. Usually people won't push that far. But you know what I'm saying. Not only does my yes have to be yes and my no be no, but I have to let other people have that same privilege to say yes or no. Glory to God. You find Luke 16? Look at verse number 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Faithfulness in the little is the door to the much. Faithfulness, that would have, being faithful with what belongs to someone else is called stewardship. We're talking about the authority of God. Well, you know, I want to speak to the mountain and the mountain have to move, but I'm not being faithful with the other parts of God's word that I know. Now, sometimes I don't know, but again, just go back. I mean, I think every Christian, unless you're a brand new Christian, but most folks know we're supposed to love others. Right? In fact, Jesus said, this a commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. So most folks know that, and sometimes, you know, we beat people over the head with that, you know, but we know that we're supposed to love others. Well, I can't be, I can't be not loving people and expect the mountain to move, because I'm not being faithful with that word. Now, aren't you glad that God is merciful? Oh, I heard some groaning back there. Groanings which cannot be uttered. I heard that back there. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Thank God for his mercy. Because when we don't measure up, and there'll be times we don't measure up, God takes up our cause. He's a good God. Hallelujah. And we want, how many of you know, we want faithfulness from God. So we need to walk in faithfulness ourselves and integrity. And probably one of the greatest biblical examples, and we're not going to go back and read any of it because it's just there's so much, is Joseph. Back in Genesis 39 through chapter 41, I mean, he's sold by his brothers into slavery. He ends up as a slave, bought. He ends up in Potiphar's house. He's faithful to him. He rises to second in command. Potiphar's wife starts to like him, tries to involve him in an affair. He runs out of the house, left his coat there. That was a mistake. But he said, I will not do this to my master. What's he doing? He's got character. He's got integrity. He's falsely accused and put into prison. But he just acts the same way there with honor and character, and he rises up to second in command in the prison. There were those who promised they'd help him get out, and they forgot about him. He interpreted their dreams, and then finally one of them was there with Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream no one could interpret. And this man said, I remember a guy in prison that could interpret dreams. They went and got him. But all through that, even though he was done wrong, he refused to compromise in Potiphar's house. He kept his integrity in the prison. He had character, so he became trusted in the palace. Integrity in the prison led to trust in the palace. And he rose up. Pharaoh said, everybody has to bow the knee to this man. The only one that doesn't is me. But he's in charge. What he says goes. He was prime minister, if you will, of all of Egypt. And the very ones who sold him into slavery had to come back to him, didn't they? Be careful who you're willing to write off, that God doesn't bring you back to them for your answer. Amen. He refused to compromise, glory to God. And God brought him to that place. So honor, giving stuff the proper value and esteeming things correctly. God's word and his way. And then also character honors the foundation. From an honorable place we can launch. And then character is what is built on that foundation. And integrity. So we honor God, we honor God's people, we honor all people with love. We act with integrity. It guides us, it leads us. We make sure that we have a pattern of good works and sound speech. And we become faithful in the little, because it's the doorway to the much. And remember that integrity in the prison brings trust in the palace. Amen. We're going to have to stop there tonight, just for time's sake, but we'll pick up there, Lord willing, some other time. Amen. Let's all stand up on our feet, if you would, please. Our prayer team's coming down. If you need prayer for anything tonight, come on down. They'd love to pray with you. They're going to pray with you according to the Word of God, because that's where answers come from, right? Amen. Ladies, don't forget tonight. I see Ashley headed out there. Don't forget, tonight's the last night to order your Kindle the Flame sweatshirt, all right? And those are not available. Pastor Greg and I tried to order one before service. We were not allowed to. Glory to God. Amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, come on down here. Ladies to the ladies, men to the men. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you tonight for your word. We honor your word tonight, Lord. It's true. Thank you for the authority that's been delegated to us. Help us to walk in the fullness of it by honoring you and walking in integrity and character. We give you all the praise and all the glory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, be here Wednesday night. Our power. All you Rhema students, we'll see you at registration on Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and Thursday morning, whatever applies. God bless you. Have a great night.